And that is me. Hi, my name is Will, and I'm in Denver.
Will. Oh,
how
nice.
Are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful.
Okay, and you're in the Bay Area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you both in Idaho?
He's in Denver.
Yes.
Oh, Denver. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And we met through synchronicity.
Ah, yeah. Always.
Yeah. But we've never met in person, which is interesting.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm all set. If you're set, Will.
Yes, I am. And let me clarify the pronunciation of your lovely name, please, madame.
Is it Benabel? Sure. Benabel Wen?
Yeah, Benabel Wen.
Benabel Wen. How beautiful.
Right. Okay.
Thank you. It's based on my Chinese name.
Ah, based on your Chinese name?
Yeah, my Chinese name is, well, it's three characters. And so the first character is Wen, that's the last name. And then the Chinese name is Benevolent and Bells. So I took Benevolent and Bells and made Benabel.
Wonderful. But you know what? That's too much information because we'll probably ask you to repeat that. That's awesome.
Okay, that's fine.
All right.
So we are going to read a short introduction here at the beginning. We're going to count down. Doug will start. I will give my part, and then we'll introduce you. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go on for 42 minutes. And usually by the end of that, we come to the answer of life, the universe, and everything.
Wow, in 42 minutes. That's very ambitious.
Well, we're still doing it, so.
Yeah, we've done it a few times.
I don't think we'll ever be able to stop, but this is what's going to happen, so I'm going to count down for you, Douglas. I believe that you begin.
Okay, here we go.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2.
That was fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
That was so much fun. Thank you so much, Doug and William. You guys have a great show going on here.
Wonderful.
Well, I was just about to dig into your tarot, but I think the I Ching, even though my hick ass can't even pronounce it correctly, is...
No, it's fine. It's fine.
My thing. I'm pretty sure that that's my thing. Like, it has become... It's weird because, like, tarot, I deal so much with symbol. Like, I'm obsessed with getting symbol books and stuff. And somebody said, you know, some symbols change their meaning. And, you know, the tarot is alive. The I Ching is alive. And, like, my understanding of what the things have... What the hexagrams have mean has changed. Do you know what I mean?
Like definitely.
The one that I can think of the most is youthful folly. Like, it's almost funny because youthful folly always used to come up when I asked the same question more than once.
Uh-huh.
And do you know what I'm saying?
Where it's the one where one of the lines tells you to divine again, or that basically you suck?
The one? You suck at divining. That's basically...
That's the one? That's hilarious. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Uh-huh.
It's like those who are inexperienced will come and ask the same question twice or something. Like every interpretation is like basically, dude, you've sat down and done yarrow sticks 4 times in a row. I'm not going to tell you anything that I haven't said before. But it's changed for me. Like the meaning of that one has changed.
Yeah.
It's weird.
They are organic like that. They are active, I believe. And it's also, again, it's because the I Ching actually, you know that whole, there's a spoon, there's no spoon. Once you become so connected to the I Ching hexagrams, it's not the hexagrams on the paper. It's what's going on in your mind. And you're understanding the hexagrams through the dimensions in your head. And so that's why they become organic.
Well, that would be the definition of synchronicity, right? The connection between internal and external events.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Synchronicity.
So I'll send you a copy of my of what I have so far. Well, it's just the translation. I always send it to people who want to work with it. And I don't really like the translations that are out there right now. They are sometimes too vague. So maybe this one might be more helpful. It's private, though, for now.
That's what I have found, though. Like, to me, like, the first thing that I was introduced to was the Tao Te Ching. And I'm probably saying that wrong. Please forgive. But I have, like, you know, I once had over a dozen different translations of it. And every time I found a new translation, it was like, you know, you would read a chapter and then read every translation, and some of the translations are so great, you know, vastly different. It's weird. I almost get the idea that it doesn't, that's part of its power. Do you know what I mean? That it means something, or perhaps that's just the language.
Well, it's so many factors. So when you translate the original, so let's say one of the hexagrams, the very original, what you see, okay, it's like a haiku. It's four characters. You know, first of all, you have to work with grammar. And a lot of times when I'm doing the translation, and this is coming from a native speaker, I look at it, I go, is this past tense, present tense, or future tense? I don't even know. And that seems kind of relevant, right? So you have these issues where you have four characters and it's like cow, hide, dragon, cloud. That's what you have. And that's actually the hexagram. So if you're asking a translator to translate cow, hide, dragon, cloud into something that's coherent to the English speaker, good luck with that. So that's really what it is. But how it works is that when it was written, the cow symbolized something, a lot like tarot. The cow meant something. It meant fertility. It meant abundance, right, or diligence. And then the dragon meant authority. So all of these come together. And then once you understand the symbols of the characters, then you can form a story. And that's where you get the translations.
Well, how has that language changed over the years?
It's changed a lot. So, for example, when the I Ching, well, the Shang Dynasty version of the I Ching, when you said leather hide was code word for revolution. So when I talked about leather hide, because that's when you take the hide of a cow and you actually transform it into something, right? And so for some reason, they decided that meant revolution, that meant revolt, that meant a change of the authority figures, you know, that the mandate of heaven had shifted. So, but you can't talk directly about overthrowing the government. That would, you know, cost you your head. So the code word among the people, among the rebels, was leather hide. And so that got incorporated into the I Ching. So when you see the words leather hide, of course, it meant to anybody who was reading the I Ching at that time, it meant revolution. But in modern day China, that's not the case. Unless you have that historic knowledge, when you see leather hide in Chinese right now, it means leather hide.
Do you visit China often or no?
I was there in 2008. I'm actually from Taiwan. So my husband's from China. What's interesting is China and Taiwan actually hate each other. Because Taiwan's trying to nuke us to the bottom of the ocean. We're trying to declare our independence. So it's kind of got this thing going where, so when I go to China, I'm not necessarily like enjoying my time there. So it's a little tricky question because, you know, I'm Taiwanese. And so I would say I'm not Chinese, but if you ask my husband, he'd say I'm Chinese because Taiwan's part of China. So it gets dicey.
Wow. That's wonderful. You know, we offer a memberships thing for our listeners, things that happen after the initial 42 minutes. I just want to make sure that it's okay that we use anything that's happened past that.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Because, I mean, I asked you a few simple questions and it was very insightful and everything. So, I mean, that's exciting for me. I would like for others to hear the same thing.
Okay, cool.
Something we didn't touch on is your numerology. Did you plan for 33 chapters or was that a synchronicity?
That was a synchronicity. I didn't plan it I did not plan 33 chapters. Then it finished and I was like, huh, that's interesting. Should I add another chapter, take away one?
Do you mind sharing some of your synchronicities, perhaps? Or have you had any recent ones that are not included in the book?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many. I don't even know where to begin, like the big ones or the little ones. I think the biggest one that I can talk about is, this is going to sound insane. So I actually...
We're used to it. Go ahead.
Growing up, I had this, I don't know if I want this recorded, dude, but go ahead, whatever, you know, it is what it is. No, go ahead, I'm joking. I just don't want it to be like, you know, quoted later on. Like, she is batshit crazy. But, like, since third grade, no, I'm serious.
All your lawyer fans are going to have to pay to hear this. How's that?
Yeah. So in third, they're probably not members. So.
Do they know about your, I mean, so can they, I'm sure there's some people that know your secret identity, but.
What's interesting, the people who know are just going to be people who are compassionate, so I don't mind. It's the people who wouldn't be interested in this anyway that I don't want them to know.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's the good thing. But let me tell you this crazy, crazy story.
All right, we're ready.
since third grade, I had this dream where, you know, it was kind of my death, where I was in the bed and all this stuff. I don't want to get into too much detail, but the idea was I had this husband, but he was a merchant and he was always away. And I was waiting for him to come back from his last trip before I sort of, you know, died. And that was sort of this weird dream that I constantly had. And then when I met my husband in college, this is, I believe it was our second date, I said, oh, you were my husband in my past life. I said this to this guy I was dating, and this is the second date. He still married me, though, so, I mean, it worked out to my advantage.
Was it like something that slipped? Like, that's the mythology that the dream had created in your head. That's what it had led you to believe, right?
Yeah, so one level, the more rational level is to say it is probably some sort of connection I made based on my emotions. I took two separate things and synchronized them because of my emotional connection to him and my emotional connection to this weird, you know, coincidental dream I had. So that's one way of putting it. But then in my crazy little head, I thought it was a past life flash that I was having. And I mean, I was bold enough to tell him on a second date, so I was pretty confident in this. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said anything. So that's one thing.
Were you like, you're staying home now, motherfucker? This time we're doing it right.
No, what's funny is, so the relationship we have, he's very attached to me. You know, he's very close. He doesn't like to go too far. So it's very interesting how that karmic dynamic works. And now, I mean, for example, we were in New York and I sort of left New York and came to California for law school. And so I was actually the one who left him, and he followed me to California to be with me.
He's like, that's so sweet, though. It's like in his other life, he realized that I'm never letting you out of my sight again.
Well, have you read any past life books?
Like, no, not any real substantive ones. Maybe fictional books from when I was a kid. You know, those, you know, stupid young adult books that you read when you're 15. Other than that, no, I've never read past life books. But then the thing is, in my culture, the past life concept is so ingrained in people's everyday life that it, you know, I get it every day. So if I'm acting up or I'm being a bad kid, my mom will say, oh, what did I ever do to you in my past life to deserve this? You know, things like that come up on a daily basis. So the past life concept has always been part of my life.
It seems like I read one a couple years back by the guy who wrote the book The Alchemist. And
oh, Paulo Coelho?
Yeah, he wrote a book and this woman just totally confronted him. And then he kept getting these flashes, and he ended up, like, he was this priest at the Inquisition, and she was one of the people that he put to death, and, like, you know, coming to terms with that moment it took.
Wow.
So, like, that kind of stuff always, of course, it's fiction, and so you don't know if it's a great yarn, or he makes it seem like this is what happened.
I think for the people who experience it, they really believe it. It's the dream part or the flashback part is so vivid in their minds that it is real. And then you do, for whatever reason, connect it to actual events in your life. And whether that's synchronicity or past life or what you want to use to express that, you know, it's based on each person's separate, you know, I guess, gnosis.
Wow. Well, I must tell you that we have taken up too much of your time already, and it has been a pleasure.
Yeah,
but beneficial Belle, we would love to talk to you again if that's okay.
I'd love to. That'd be so much fun.
All right, before we go though, let's just look at Dawn's cards one more time here. See if there's anything we've missed.
Let me see I'm up. The World card. I like the World card there.
What is that position? I forget.
The World card? I don't even remember. I haven't used the Celtic cross since I was like in seventh grade.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I found a new deck a couple years ago, and it really, really is resonating with me. It's the Wildwood, and it's definitely more of a European pagan symbol set.
Yeah, the creator is of the Druidcraft. I like that deck too, the Wildwood.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, it is the one that's just, I don't even have to work. It just works for me, but there's a different spread that I use with it too. But so yeah, if you had any other things you could say about this spread, it's just tickling me because I think he kind of encoded the whole show in this spread.
Well, in the past, the Three of Cups reversed, I always read as hedonism. And
Yes.
then the seven of, oh no, sorry, five, sorry, the Five of Swords, there's an ethical issue involved there. You always have this, then I always, when I look at that card, is the seeker the one in the foreground who has defeated others, you know, for his own self-serving interests and has, you know, sort of plowed over others for to acquire and accumulate on behalf of his own ego, or is he the one that's defeated it in the background? And the reason that the guy is in the foreground is because you have to face your nemesis. You have to face the person who has defeated you. And that always becomes the question that I work through as a journey with the seeker.
That's the comic book card to me. That's the one that I was kind of staring at this, and it like fucking it jumped forward as it's very comic bookish. I mean, the guy in the foreground is very hero-like. Dun da da.
Hero-like, that's an interesting word that you use. I don't know if I would ever call him a hero, but I see where you're coming from because of how valiant he appears. He has this great confidence. I mean, his sleeves are red. He's in this powerful stance, you know, and
Yeah,
he's.
that's He-Man.
Yeah, I definitely see that. But I think on another level, for me, I guess that's where I come in. You know, I'm more of a softer person. So that kind of a personality might not, you know, be someone that I want to revere. And so I have a more negative relationship with the Five of Swords.
Right, and everyone has a real
Fascinating.
mixed feelings about Don Draper.
Huh, interesting.
Well, because he has his superpower is like seduction.
He is a super.
He's
His name is
Superman.
Don Draper,
It's the
like
sun
Peter
card.
Parker.
He
You get what I'm saying?
is he's Superman.
Yes, he is. Okay.
He's
Okay, this is getting too
but
weird
where's
for
he
me.
taking his power? He's acquiring his power by sucking it from other people. Is that really
Exactly.
the hero?
Yes. No, he's not. And that's kind of it. Kind of speaks to this idea of cultural identity in the 60s, where everything is in flux. And because he's an ad man, you know, like
He's an advertisement man, which
there's
is.
no soul, he's just selling, selling, selling.
Ah, and then it's so close to the Wheel of Fortune, which often also means flux. You know, whenever you see that, especially depending on where it is in the card spread, it also means flux. Like I said, uncertainties. Which way will the wheel turn? But when it's right side up, I see it as turning in your favor, where the stream is, where you're the current of the stream is going in the same direction you're going in when the card is upright.
Let me express to you how sink heads work, and by sink heads, I mean our little community here. Okay, this year is the Chinese year of
The goat.
It's the lamb, right?
the lamb, the sheep, or the
Oh, yeah,
goat.
right.
Okay, so the goat's horns make a lot of sense as far as
The
like the
devil.
devil horn.
Yeah.
Yes, you see it then. So this is how, okay, I don't, you may not follow sports. I do not, but I do know that the NCAA championship was won by the Duke Blue Devils.
Oh, nuts. My husband could appreciate that.
Then right after that, like 2 weeks later, Netflix dropped their original series of Daredevil. And then there's other stuff happening this year as well. For instance, Arthur C. Clarke's story, A Childhood's End, which features aliens who come down and fix the world, but then look like devils. So they
Interesting.
hide themselves for a certain amount of years before they come out because the world has to get over the prejudice of understanding that the ones who fix the world are the devil. Do you get what I'm saying? And plus, this Wheel of Fortune, it's just. There seems to be in pop culture something that resonates. Last year was the horse, of course, and
Yes.
that was a joke. But anyways, the horse had all of the there was the series also again on Netflix that came out called like BoJack Horseman or something like that, where the man had a horse head. There was a lot of pop references to the horse, and it seemed to
Oh,
go.
right,
It's
you're right.
really kind of, it's cool. It's cool. We've been tracking it for a couple of years now, but what do you think about that? I mean, it's so weird to be an American because Americans for so long thought that they were the only ones who influenced the world, but it seems like, you know, the Chinese, the I Ching is a great example to me. There's these other cultures that basically somehow unconsciously influence the whole rest of the world.
I don't know if it's one culture or if it is literally that synchronicity where things pop up in different places at the same time. And then it just becomes us, you know, our human mind feels like we have to draw some sort of a chronological connection between the pieces, right? So I think it's perfectly plausible for these various synchronicities to happen on their own. That is why it's a synchronicity, right? It doesn't have to flow with chronology or cause and effect. And based on what you're talking about, I was like, oh, I'm totally a synchhead. I mean, that's really how I see my own life. Not so much with pop culture, only because I don't follow pop culture, but it happens in my life all the time. So for example, I'll go through a phase where, you know, one particular tarot card constantly comes up in my life. And then the actual images I see, like, you know, when I'm walking or the landscape, something I see will, you know, sort of mimic the imagery of that card. It happens to me all the time. Or like, it'll be a period of just bees. I don't know why. Bees everywhere or birds everywhere. Or, you know what I'm saying? Things like that.
You are a straight up synchid.
Yeah,
that's
but I would
our
call
language.
You a synchronist.
We'll talk to
I
each other.
Use...
Like, I see frogs everywhere. I'm syncing with frogs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm like, right, I'm like, why am I freaking syncing with frogs? What's going on with the frogs? And then I have to go research the historic symbolic meaning of frogs. And then I just feel like an idiot. I'm like, what am I doing? But yeah, I
you're not an idiot. You're one of us.
Okay.
The when you say that, the curious thing to me is I sense this idea of like a psychic weather that kind of blows through and pushes everyone's buttons at the same time in a similar sort of way. And that everyone has their own response to it. But I'm wondering about it would be – and the internet allows us to see this on a different level where we're seeing, like, larger systems reacting. I wonder, like, other cultures. That would be – like, that's the thing that's interesting to me right now.
What do you mean by other cultures?
So, like
we've gone.
No, I'm
too
interested.
Far.
So it's like
push the envelope too far.
Oftentimes, I mean, so like English language, we have like the shared thing, right? The shared language we're able to, we share communication, and so that's how you can see that maybe you know similar things are happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like revolutions or it just seems like certain things happen at the same moment. I wonder. Like you could observe that. Do you know what I'm saying? So like,
no, the House of Cards has collapsed.
There's this perception that
I'm trying to follow.
Perception that the East is different than the West.
I think there's a lot of ways they're different. Let's talk more about that. Like, what do you mean?
That,
like, what's your perception of a difference? And I can try to.
Well, so I mentioned it earlier, the difference between left brain, right brain.
I think it has. We're dancing around the Tao Te Ching. I think that that's like the difference as
so
far as.
So the West is. The generalization would be individualistic.
That's exactly where I was thinking, oh my God, that's so crazy. So I was about to talk about individualism versus collectivism. So.
Right. And so, like, the idea of a hero in the West is different. Of course, I'm just speaking – I don't know what I'm talking about. But so, like, the idea of the hero in the West is different than the idea of the hero in the East.
Oh, that
well,
that's
very interesting. Him. Okay, so, for example, you know how when we talk about the hero's journey, or actually the fool's journey in tarot, you know, if you really think about it, that journey is internal. You know, it's about the fool realizing his or her own potential – his or her own role, you know, like what that person's purpose is, self-awakening, correct? But in the I Ching, so the I Ching hexagrams all connect if you read through it, you know, from beginning to end. And in a lot of the hexagrams, they talk about the gentleman or the seeker, you know, the seeker, but it's directly translated as gentleman. Sometimes they, what are the other words for it? Wise man, sage, there's many different translations.
Master.
Master is another one. So this person, I mean, that journey that this person takes, which will be you. So whenever you see master or sage or wise man or whatever, this person is presumably you because you're the king. You're the king of a land and you're consulting the I Ching because that's the original purpose of the I Ching was for the heads of state to consult and figure out how to better execute laws and how to rule the world. I mean, rule the land. And so all of the sort of journey, that this the journey of the I Ching tends to be more about collectivism. What can you do as in service of the people to create a better kingdom? And that is the journey that the sage takes in the I Ching, which is a very different journey from the fool's journey in tarot, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Does that mean the West tends to externalize the internal processes? Maybe?
I think the individual is incredibly important in the Western frame of mind. And so what the ego is doing is incredibly relevant. And so all forms of divination are around that. And all, that's also probably why free will is sort of championed over fate or fatalistic, interpretations of tarot, whereas a lot of people interpret the I Ching to be fatalistic. And it's only in very, very recent times that we started sort of absorbing Western culture and saying, no, that's not true. The I Ching is not fatalistic. It's also about free will. And that's sort of a more modern interpretation of the I Ching, but very traditionally, it's very fatalistic. Whatever you draw, you know, shit, man, that's your future. Good luck, you know, so it's very different.
But see, I've learned to translate it differently. Like, things that I used to think in the I Ching were negative have taken on a different connotation for me. Like, yeah. And I almost see everything as positive now. And then it's weird because I'll get in these frames of mind and then like five times a day it will be like joy, 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 joy. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just – it's very interesting. It's very interesting. And then sometimes I hate hexagram 23 splitting apart, because every time that comes up, it's just like, kah! Like everything that you were working for, just like everything broke and the whole thing like collapsed. Do you know what I mean?
But you need destruction to rebuild. So it's like the tower card, a lot of sense. Well, go on. Yeah.
No, I was just about to say the thing. Like, all of a sudden, my interpretation of it changed. Like, I was almost striving for 23s after a while. It's like I wanted the renewal of, okay, stop, do it again.
I think what I really love about the I Ching pedagogy that I don't really see in tarot is when you learn I Ching, you start with Qi or Tao. What is the Tao? The Tao has it's characterized by the binary, which is yin and yang. And yin and yang is basically the dynamic of creative versus destructive energy. So now you're no longer talking about good versus evil, positive or negative, or even masculine versus feminine, which I think is a lot of the language that we use in the West. So now you're only talking about creative versus destructive energy. Neither is good, neither is bad. Do you see what I mean? Like, they both can take on good qualities or evil qualities, et cetera, et cetera. Then the binary becomes the trinity, which is man, earth, and heaven. And that becomes the eight elements, which are the eight trigrams. And these eight trigrams represent the eight different directions of the universe and all those different things. And then they fold over into the 64 hexagrams through math.
Wonderful.
All right, I'm calling the time of death. We have to. We would talk like this all night.
Don't be sorry.
This is wonderful. We have appreciated everything, and like I said, we're gonna have to like set another time so we can talk to you again.
Fantastic. We can talk about the meaning of life next time.
I think we already did. Thank you so much, and I'll send you an email when it's up with the links.
Fantastic.
Okay.
All right. You take
Good
care.
Night.
Okay.
Good
night. Bye-bye.